Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem BPM, share number 155. We're talking about daily interactions in marriage and daily building tool number two. The first one was gratitude, Hakaras HaTov, and now the second one is to judge favorably. B'tzedek tishpeit amisecha. It's a mitzvah that Tyre should judge your amisecha, your friend, with righteousness, which Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Vav, brings from this that have it done as called Adam Lekavschus, to judge everyone favorably. And we usually think that the mitzvah of judging favorably means someone who came to shul an hour late or co-workers in a bad mood. But what people, of course, don't realize is that all interpersonal mitzvahs apply first and foremost to our own wives. We have an extra special chiv to give the benefit of doubt to our wives. But tzedek tishpeit amisecha is primarily for our wives. The first exercise to stop before you judge your wife on whether you have the information necessary to even make a judgment. Most of us are sure we're right often, but we are missing the whole picture. We're missing some background information, and maybe we're wrong. So here's an example that was brought down, that Yeshiva was having a 50th anniversary dinner, the husband said. And I bought expensive tickets, and I was looking forward to hearing a certain Rav who was flying to be one of the speakers, and my wife and I agreed, leave her work early, we'll have time to get home, change our clothing, make a 45-minute drive to the hall where the dinner was scheduled, that will start before 7. I got home 5:30, and was surprised to see that my wife wasn't home yet. I checked my cell phone, she didn't leave any messages. When she wasn't home at 5:45, I called her cell phone. She didn't pick up. Really annoying. She takes a long time to get ready for fancy occasions like this. And she's very often late, and she has no sense of time. But I knew she was looking forward to this dinner, so what held her back at work? Sometimes her boss waylays her on her way out of the office and keeps her for extra half an hour to attend something that comes up. But why can't my wife simply tell her boss that she has a commitment today and she couldn't stay later? Why couldn't she muster the courage to stand up to her boss? Why aren't my needs more important than the company's? And she still wasn't home by 6:15 and wasn't answering her cell phone. And I was getting really exasperated. Why is she so undependable, I wonder? Should I go without her? Serve her right for being so irresponsible and for putting her work ahead of our marriage? 20 minutes later, as I walked out the door to go by myself, my wife's car pulled up. And you're late, I yelled at her. I'm not waiting for you to get ready and walk in an hour late. If you want to go, you can meet me there. Now she stood there in the driveway as if debating whether or not she should say something. Finally, she blurted out, I was home at 5 o'clock when my mother called. She was having chest pains, and I called Atzala and rushed over to her house. By the time I got there, Atzala was already treating her. They said it was a angina attack again, and they gave her nitroglycerin and said she had to go to the hospital, and I went with her in the ambulance, and all the rush, I left the cell phone in my car. Not that I thought of calling you anyway. I was so worried about my mother. Once she was admitted and settled in her room with my brother on the way to stay with her, I realized I'd be late for the yeshiva dinner. I wanted to call you, but I didn't have my cell phone. I guess I could have asked to use someone else's cell phone, but I was so frazzled. I didn't think clearly. I decided to just get a cab to take me to my mom's house and get my car. But it took another 10 minutes for the cab to come. So the husband hears this, and he says, I felt so foolish being in a huff about being late for a yeshiva dinner when my wife was in the hospital with her mother. But how was I to know? So that's a skill. Don Lekavschus, giving the benefit of the doubt, and also to train yourself that I don't know. There's no crime in saying I don't know. Rashi writes 77 times in Chumash that he doesn't know. Now, Rashi doesn't comment on every pasuk in the Torah. So if he didn't understand the pasuk, let him just skip it. No one would be any wiser. No one would know Rashi didn't know. So why do you make a point of asking the question and then state I don't know? So we see from here the importance to admit that when you don't know something. So judging your wife favorably is by admitting that you don't know all the facts behind her behavior. So just say, I don't know. So that's very, very important. So there was a poll that asked was taken in a certain club. A Kesha Wife Club is a weekly webinar for wives who are working on themselves. Poll number one, they and the husbands have the same problem. So it goes both ways. So the poll number one asked, has it ever happened that you blamed your husband for not getting an item you asked him to buy in the grocery store and turned out it wasn't even on the list? And 62% of the wives said, yeah, that happened. Poll number two, has it ever happened that you couldn't find something because your husband put it in the wrong place? And later, after criticizing your husband, either in your heart or verbally, you discovered that it was either there in the right place all along, or you didn't see it, or you were the one who put it in the wrong place and forgot, or you forgot to put it in the right place. And 92% of the wives said, yeah. Number three, have you ever judged your husband negatively and found out later you were wrong? All of them answered yes, that happened. So misjudging one's spouse is very, very common, like junk mail. We often make wrong judgments. So that is a very important insight to realize. Number one, by judging favorably, is that we are often wrong. We often don't know the whole picture. Another insight that will help us be done with kaschus is recognizing that we keep a double standard. You know, the excuse you use for yourself, you don't use for your wife. You only use for yourself. There's a double standard there. In other words, implied. You may not say this openly, but if you look at your behavior, you'll come to realize that you're saying to yourself, I can make a mistake. My wife can't make the mistake. I'm not a mind reader. I can't read my wife's mind. You know, so don't blame me if I don't understand her, but she better read my mind. Or for me, when I blow up or I'm angry, that's out of character. I'm a good guy. It's out of character. But her, that's the way she is all the time. Or I'm exhausted. So that's what, because I'm so exhausted, I have trouble and I don't think what's coming out of my mouth because I'm exhausted. As if your wife's never exhausted. Or you're stressed out from work and she should understand that. Meanwhile, you never understand when she's under stress from her work. Or you say to yourself, give yourself the benefit of the doubt, I'm cranky because I didn't sleep well. And if your wife didn't have a good night's sleep and she's overtired, so we have that double standard with us towards our wives that we have to fix. So, you know, that's the idea. We have to quit that double standard. Whatever excuses you use for yourself, use them to excuse your wife's behavior as well. Al todenes chavercha achet giyeh b'mekayma applies to your wife as well. Don't judge your wife until you are in her place, and you'll never be in her place. So this Rebbetzin Samet, she wrote a book, The Other Side of the Story, giving such examples that sometimes we find our way to judge someone favorably in our minds, that in our minds we are, but our heart was saying we would not do something like that. Even if we'd be in their place, we would choose differently. We would take the higher road. But so we have to remember times when we were in the situation and we did not act properly. So here's an example of one of those things. One of the kids dropped his dinner plate. It shattered into 100 pieces, getting tomato sauce and chicken all over the kitchen floor. And our weekly cleaning lady, was just there that day. And my wife blew up. She started screaming at my son, telling him he's always so careless and he'll have to wash the floor. And I thought, watching this, it was too harsh of a reaction against an 8-year-old. I tried to talk sense into my wife, but she wouldn't calm down. I said to myself, she's overreacting. Why can't she control her temper? But then I remembered that a few weeks ago, we were all in the car, driving to my in-laws. And I was always nervous about going to my in-laws, but that's a separate story. And our 6-year-old was drinking juice from one of those no-spill kitty cups, whatever. And she and her brother were goofing around, and she unscrewed the lid and spilled the juice over the new upholstery of the car. And the car is only 4 months old. It got sticky stains all over there. I yelled at her. And only stopped when she started to cry. And I remember that scene. From that scene that I remembered what I did when I blew my top out on my 6-year-old, that I have to stop judging my wife when she did the same thing later. It's hard not to react when kids do things that mean more work for us. So it's not that we're making it right. Of course, we need to improve our behaviors. But the idea is to blame your wife when you see that in her overreaction, and we are blind and we ignore and we disregard our own overreaction acting. That's the problem. So this is the idea that Baal Shem Tov always said like that, that a person is not judged unless he passes judgment first on himself. Nasan came to David HaMelech and after the Chet of Batsheva and said that whole analogy. There was a poor man and a rich man, and the rich man had a lot of sheep and cattle. The poor man only had one small sheep, which he raised and grew up with the children and took care of it. And then, someone came to the rich man. And he was reluctant to take from his own sheep, so this rich man took from his poor sheep, the only one he had, and slaughtered it for his guest. And David heard this, got so upset at this man, and he told Nasan HaNavi, as Hashem lives, any man who does this deserves to die. He has to pay four times for the sheep, because he didn't have pity. And then Nasan told David, you are that man. You are that man. He made the judgment, and the judgment went on him. You are that person. Of course, David HaMelech right away did tshuva, immediately. But the idea is that Ois Ata Ish, you are that person, that's an indictment. We often have this within us, and we have to be so, so careful. So that's a very, very important idea. The Baal Shem Tov says this, so I'm going to say this again, that a person isn't judged in Shemayim unless he first has passed judgment on himself for a similar action. So when you blame your wife for doing something, you'll find yourself in the heavenly court being blamed for doing something similar to what your wife just did. You're passing judgment on her. So when you do that similar thing, or you did and you just forgot about it, right, then you're being judged. So you have to ask yourself, have I ever been preoccupied and not listened to something my wife was saying? Right? So let's say your wife spends too much time on her chesed projects, doesn't give you enough time and attention. You have to ask yourself, that may be true, and I'm not saying you shouldn't talk about it and work it through, but have you ever been engrossed in your job or your own learning or whatever you did, and you didn't give your wife that time and attention? That's the biggest side in Chaim. Don't judge your wife until in your mind you are her and in her place. Would you behave differently? You think, I would never do what she's doing even if I were in her place. But that's not true. If you're really in her place, it's very likely you would do the same thing and even worse. Meaning your whole wife's DNA and her parents and her childhood and her tchunas hanefesh and your inborn koichais of strengths and weaknesses and life experiences, how would you be acting in that situation? So that's the idea of not to judge your wife until you're actually in her place, and you'll never be in her place. And therefore, this idea of being done l'kaf schus is a tremendous healing and a tremendous bracha in married life that will bring you only refuas and yeshuas and reciprocation of tremendous ahav and chesed coming from Hashem and coming from your wife. I will shower on you chasadim as you change your behaviors for the better. Bracha v'atzlacha.